Please open your Bibles to Romans chapter number 11. Romans chapter number 11. I find it interesting how God always works out even the little details within a service. And that song goes along with what I'm going to preach on tonight. And very fitting. And if we'd all stand for the reading of God's Word, Romans chapter number 11, we're just going to read one verse, a very important verse. I think it's often skipped over because Romans chapter number 12 and the first two verses get a lot of emphasis. But you can't have Romans chapter 12 verses 1 and 2 without Romans chapter 11 and verse number 36, and they go hand in hand. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 11 and verse number 36, it says, "For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." And tonight I want to preach on the subject of God's providential hand in our life. God's providential hand in our life. And it's very important to understand the moving and working of God's hand in every aspect of our life. And I hope I can be an encouragement to you tonight. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for the time you've given us here. Again, we go before your throne, beseeching you to and asking you, Lord, to help Pastor Jerry to feel better. He's very busy. There's lots of things on his plate, things that you want him to do. And but you set this time. He's sick now. And Lord, we ask you to raise him up as quickly as possible. And Lord, right now you've given us this time here in this service. Lord, I pray that there'd be a special anointing. God, I ask that Holy Spirit, you'd fill us and fill me as I preach and teach, and fill those that are singing in the congregation, that they might have ears to hear your word and feet swift to follow after you. Lord, I pray that if there's somebody that's hurting, you know, they're just wondering about the things of life, that maybe tonight they won't have to struggle so bad. They can know that you're there. Maybe there's somebody in this congregation that doesn't know you as a personal Savior. Lord, tonight I pray that they'd see you and the need for you and trust you tonight. In Jesus' name, I pray and ask these things. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In Romans chapter 12, in the first two verses, it says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And I think all of us, or most of us in this room, have heard a message or two or many by multiple different preachers off of those two verses. And about being conformed and or being transformed and not being conformed to this world, and the renewing of your mind and your reasonable service as a Christian, and of being a living sacrifice. All those things have been preached on. But how do you understand that it's your reasonable service? How do you understand that it's the good and acceptable and perfect will of God that you be transformed and not conformed to this world? How do you understand all those things in the movings and workings of your life? You have to go back to verse number 36, because when he says, "I beseech you, therefore," in verse number 1, what's the therefore there? It's to move you back up so you understand what those verses are talking about. In verse number 36, I believe, honestly, if we can get a hold of this verse, this one verse, it could actually change your life if you can just grasp a hold of this one verse. I believe it's a key, a big key, that unlocks an incredible door of the Christian life. And again, it says, "For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." Now, how many in this room have ever had struggles beyond beyond any way that you could deal with it? There's just, you've had a struggle where it's just beyond your mind's comprehension on how to deal with that thing. You just had that kind of a struggle. Somebody, anybody? Some of you are like, "Huh, maybe." Yeah. I know some of you students, you know, when you're doing some of your homework and your school's coming up, and you have a test, some of you are thinking, how am I going to get this test done? How am I going to pass this test? When I was at Bible college, you know, I was just wondering how I was going to survive and make it through. And I didn't understand, you know, to be honest, I didn't understand at the time some of the things I had to go through at the time. I just didn't understand that. And as soon as I got out of Bible college and could look back on some things, now I understand a lot of them. But at the time, I really didn't understand. And I think every one of us either has gone through or will go through something that's beyond our control. That's beyond something that we can deal with on our own. And there's many ways that you can try and deal with it, but there's only one good way. And I hope this will be a help to you. Seeing God's providential hand in everything. Well, let's take this verse and let's break it down. To be honest, I'm not going to jump around a lot, so please don't try and please don't fall asleep on me. I'm not going to jump around a lot. I'm going to break down this verse. And we may turn to maybe a couple other verses, but most of the time is going to be spent right here. So I want you to pay, you know, special attention to what the Lord's trying to say in this particular verse. If you break it down, he's got basically three sections that he's put. You know, there's two commas within there, or three commas. And he breaks it down into different sections about his providential hand. Okay, the things that he's trying to say here. In the first part, he says, for of him. And if you finish that out, if you finish the sentence out, if you were to break it down grammatically, it says, for of him, you leave off the rest, are all things. For of him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Okay? So the first point in God's providential hand in our life is that he's the source. He's the source. When a circumstance comes up, he's the source. He's allowed that. Now, we like to blame everything on Satan. But Satan's not all powerful. He gets his bidding from God Almighty. He's allowed to do only what God tells him to do. Do you understand that? Satan's not all powerful. Now, he's wicked and he's very powerful, and you shouldn't underestimate him. But he's limited by an almighty God. And so when you're struggling with things, you need to remind yourself that God's hand is in that thing. He's the source. For instance, I'm going to tell a lot of stories about myself because, you know, they relate to me. And they're easy for me to give, okay? And it's not because I like to talk about myself, and I surely don't like to give everybody my whole personal life, but maybe it'll help you relate. In between my freshman and my sophomore year, my car broke down right at the end of my freshman year. I was driving from work, going back to the college, and I had blown a head gasket earlier in the year, and you know, I don't have any money to fix anything, so I'm just riding that thing out all for all it's worth. I'm coming around this bend, and I'm, you know, I probably shouldn't have been doing this. You know, I'm going 75, 80 miles an hour. The white smoke's blowing out the back, and all of a sudden I hear this thunk. I was like, oh, that doesn't sound good. I lost all power in my car. I thought, oh no, what's this? And I pull over and I hear this metal sound, and I'm, this is not good. And I get out and I look underneath my car, and I watch oil just go. It's like, that's a problem. And I end up throwing a rod through my engine. And well, I couldn't pay to, the car wasn't worth paying to get it fixed. So the Lord was very gracious to me, and I sold it to a guy at a junkyard for like $200 with a blown engine. And amen for that. He wanted my stereo out of it, and the stereo was worth the $200. And I said, no way, I'm taking my stereo. You give me $200, you can have all the parts. And but now I had no ride. You know, how do I go to work? And I'm stuck at the college. I was taking interim courses. And then I got a phone call on my third interim course right before finals, and one of my friends had, she went to be with the Lord. She was 17 years old, and a guide out of just being stubborn, really. He wasn't taking his insulin for his diabetes, and he passed out at the wheel. And he crossed the center line at 75 miles an hour and hit her head on, and killed her pretty much instantly. And then his car jumped over the top and hit another car, and a kid I went to high school with was in that car, and his one-year-old son, and killed both of them. And he lived, the guy lived, but the rest of them died. And that I got a phone call when I was studying for my finals for Baptist history. And for those of you that haven't taken Baptist history or going through, it's kind of grueling, okay? There's a lot of history there. And the professor that I had, his name is Mr. Dalton. And boy, he gives some doozies and some tests, I'll tell you what. And he was one of those professors that when you come into his class, he expected, you know, at least 30 to 40% of the class to fail. And he told you that up front. It was real exciting, you know. And he would say, if some of you don't, you know, 30 to 40% of you don't fail, I'm not doing my job. I was like, great. And so it was kind of a tough week. And I get this phone call. I'm studying for my finals from my mom. And she tells me what happens. And but I have no car to get back. Lord, how am I supposed to get back? And I got some money in the mail. I got on a bus, a Greyhound bus, and traveled from Knoxville, Tennessee to Florence, Montana on a Greyhound bus. And if you've never been on a Greyhound bus, that's not recommended for that long of a distance. 60 hours on a bus and with people I don't know, and they smell bad. I'm not sure how many of them were carrying knives and guns and drugs and all kinds of things. But anyway, I traveled back, and I was there for a funeral. But I still didn't have a car. I needed to get a job. And then one of the church members there was very kind to me and gave me a car. Fairly nice car. It was a Lincoln. Lincoln Mark 7, 84 Lincoln Mark 7. I love that car. Leather interior. And nice rims. It was, you know, it was a ghetto mobile for sure. Tinted, dark tinted windows. And I figured, man, I'll take this back to college. I work with the inner city kids. They'll love me. I'll travel down the inner city and I'll get arrested. Police officers will think I'm dealing drugs or something. The kids will love me. And well, I got that car, and I was traveling on my way back to college. And I was about 700 miles away from home. And all of a sudden, the car started stuttering. I was like, what? It's running fine. I don't know what's the problem. And I pull off the side of the road, turn it off. I try to turn it back on. Nothing. I don't have anything. I'm 50 miles from the nearest town. I'm stuck in North Dakota. Now, how many of you have ever been through North Dakota or seen pictures of North Dakota? Okay, North Dakota is not much to look at. It's flat. I looked around. I couldn't see a house for miles. They don't call that area of you know, the Badlands. You know, they don't call that area that for nothing. It's kind of rough. And I was thinking, Lord, okay, I'm 700 miles away from home. I'm 50 miles from the nearest town. I have no money other than to get myself to college and gas. And here I am stuck on the side of the road. Why? Why? Now, don't you think that God can keep my car running if he wants to? Or was that God's providential hand that I broke down on the side of the road? And surely it was. And I'll go back to this story as I travel through the rest of this verse. So keep that in mind, okay? And there's other things I could tell you about. You know, all the money situations while I was at college, those kind of things, the things I had to go through that way. That's all God's providential hand. He's the source of that. And for you, what does that mean for you? Some of you right now are probably going through something that is pretty serious. There's probably many of you in this room, and I have no clue what it is. But God's the source. He's allowed that for a reason. And if you can get that in your mind, it'll help you. It really will. It'll help you, especially as I continue on through the rest of this verse. He's the source. And you don't have to blame everything on Satan, because ultimately God is the one who allows it. Okay? You don't have to blame it, your circumstances, on other people and get bitter and mad at them, because God is the one who allowed it. You know, there's people at college, you know, when I worked with in the inner city, there were some people that I dealt with that I didn't understand why I had to deal with them, or, you know, why they would give me such flack. Sometimes I'd have to deal with other people that were helping with the inner city, you know, ministry there. And they were just, some of them were just, I'll just be honest, they were knuckleheads. They didn't understand anything. And they try and tell you how to deal with the kids that you've been working with and praying for and, you know, put your blood and sweat and tears into, and they come in for a second thinking they know how to run everything and blow the whole thing up, you know, and I'm thinking, why in the world do I got to deal with this knucklehead? But God allowed that. And I could get mad and irritated at him and say, why did God let these people, you know, why did, you know, this staff member do this, and get all mad and irritated at them? But listen, God allowed all that, because he's all-powerful and he's almighty. He's the source. But not only is he the source, for of him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. But the Bible says he's the force. Now, I'm not talking about Star Wars. I know some of the kids in here, they like Star Wars. How many of you kids like Star Wars? Okay, a few of you. Okay. I know this isn't right, it's probably wicked, but I like Star Wars. Okay? You know, I got on it when I was a little kid. My parents took me to see it. And listen, my favorite color is green, and I like swords. And it's just a good combination, you know, a green sword that cuts through metal and everything else. I thought, man, if I could just get a hold of one of these things, this would be great. But I'm not talking about that kind of force, okay? There's no such thing. And it's all fictional. But not only is God the source when you're going through something, when you're struggling. And by the way, he's not only the source when you're struggling, but he's also the source when you're not struggling. But he's also the force. The Bible says, and through him are all things, to be glory forever. Amen. So what does that mean? When you are struggling, or when you have a problem that's beyond your comprehension and beyond your means to take care of it, if you can first realize he's a source, and then second realize he's the force, he's the only way you can get through that thing. The only way. Now, there's a lot of people out there that go through a lot of doors trying to deal with problems, okay? You know, they go to the psychologists and psychiatrists and whatever, you know, to try and figure out all their problems. Listen, those people can't help you. They just can't. They can't figure it out. They've got as many problems as you do, okay? And most of them, you know, the ones that say, why don't you just lay on this couch for a while and tell me all your problems? You know, they need a couch. You know? I don't know how they're going to tell you how to deal with your problems with all the problems they've got. By the way, that profession is one of the highest professions for suicide rates. It is. So if that was the answer, if man was the answer, then and they had all the answers, then why are they jumping out of windows and, you know, blowing their heads off with a, you know, a gun? Because when they look to themselves, it's not the answer. It's only God that's the answer. Now, let's go back to my story. I'm broke down by the side of the road in a 84 Lincoln Mark 7, and I have no clue why. And I'm sitting there, and I'll just be honest, I was really frustrated. I looked underneath I popped the hood, looked underneath the engine, you know, looked all over the place. Nothing's leaking. Nothing I can tell is disconnected. I've got gas in the car, you know, all those things. I can't, I can't see anything that would be a problem. It's just, it won't start. And nothing was overheating that I could tell. I got plenty of fluids everywhere, plenty of oil. All those things were taken care of. I couldn't understand. And after a while, I'll be honest, I was getting pretty irritated at the Lord. And I know none of you ever do that. You never get irritated at the Lord. And you never say, Lord, why do I have to go through this right now? I know none of you have ever said that or ever thought that. And I'm the only one, I'm sure. But it made me realize something. I'm stuck. 700 miles away from home. And at that time, I couldn't afford a cell phone. To be honest, I really still can't afford one, but I have one anyway. But I didn't have a cell phone, so I can't just, you know, hop on the phone and say, Dad, can you come help me? And he would have, but I couldn't do that. I can't just, you know, walk to the nearest town, you know, 10 miles away or whatever, and get some help. 50 miles is a long walk. And it'd take me a little while. And I'm out by myself. And at that time, I didn't, you know, they say you can't carry guns to school, so I didn't even bring mine with me. So I don't have any kind of protection. I was kind of afraid to wave somebody down, you know, be one of those, you know, serial killers or something like that. My problem with my car would be solved, though. But I sat down in my car, and I started asking the Lord why. Why, Lord? And then as I sat there, I said, the Holy Spirit started speaking to me. And then I said to the Lord, okay, Lord, what do you want me to learn? What am I supposed to learn from all this? And I realized that I'm stuck and I can't rely on anybody else. I have to rely on the Lord. I have to go through him to get this problem taken care of. And so there I sat and I prayed and I prayed. I got outside the car. I walked around the car and prayed. I know there's probably people that drove by and thought I was crazy. I was kneeling in front of my car praying, asking the Lord, please, Lord, I need to go to Bible college. That's where you sent me. That's where I'm supposed to prepare for, you know, for the ministry. That's where I'm supposed to be. You organized all of that. Now get me there. I walked back in my car. I sat in the seat, put my key in the ignition, and it fired right up. Now someone could say, well, you know, maybe it just cooled down. The Lord started my car. The Lord started my car. Do you know how many problems I had with my car after that? This is a good angle. Zero. It ran great. And the thing had a 302 in it. And, you know, it got okay gas mileage, you know, for the size engine, the size car. But I got incredible gas mileage after that. I got like 30-something miles of the gallon out of that thing. It was God's hand. Not only is God the source, but he's the force. But why don't we ever access that power? You know? Why don't we? When you're struggling, why don't you access God? He's the force. He can take care of that. You got financial struggles? He's the force. You got problems at home? He's the force. You struggling with individual sins within your life, he's the force. Right? He can take care of that thing. And there's a lot of you, I can tell, some of you I'm looking at in your eyeballs and you're really struggling with some things. I said that Wednesday night. But you're just struggling. Listen, God can take care of that. He really can. I'm not saying that it's going to go away immediately. I'm not going to say you're not going to fall down on your face every once in a while. But guess what? He's still that force. And he can still help you. And I hope that's an encouragement to some of you that are really struggling. okay? Some of you have probably health issues. And listen, he can take care of that. He can take care of that. But not only is God the source, and not only is he the force, but lastly, he's the course. The Bible says, the last thing it says, to him are all things, to be glory forever. To whom be glory forever, amen. He's the course. You know, the reason that we go through things in this life is for one purpose and one purpose only. It's to know God better. That's it. Pretty simple. It's to know God a little bit better. To grow in our Christian walk a little bit more. And going back to that story again, I learned an incredible lesson between my freshman and my sophomore year. I learned how real God was. And for some of you in this room, God's not very real. He's just not. Some of you children, some of you kids, teenagers, listen, the God that you serve, for some of you, it's not your God. It's your parents' God. And you're going to have to go through some things and rely on God yourself to discover God is real and he's big and he truly is the course for your life. Our trials and tribulations are all for one purpose, so that we can know God better and he can have glory in our lives. And there's other things, I'll just be honest, there's some other things within my life that God allowed, he was a source of, and I sought him, you know, for wisdom or please take this or take care of this, and he saw it fit not to take care of that thing, so to speak. And I started looking back on it after, you know, asking and asking and asking, and what it did is made me ask and grow closer and search God's word more. But he never removed it. Why? So I could keep searching and seeking him and knowing him a little bit more. And I want you to turn to the book of 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter number 12. And this is a very pretty common passage. Second Corinthians chapter number 12, and we'll start in verse number 1. The Bible says, "It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such and one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise, and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing, that thorn in the flesh, that thing, I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. And he said," notice God spoke to him, "and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take," this is a hard word, "pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Listen, the things that you're going through are to help you to grow in Christ so that you can't glory in yourself anymore and be self-sufficient, that you have to rely on God and glory in Him, that you give Him all the praise and glory. And sometimes that means that you might have a problem that He's not going to take away. He's just not going to do it, so that you can know Him and that you can glory in Him. And then you can realize, hey, His grace is sufficient. Hey, when I am weak, then that's really when I'm strong, because I'm relying on the Lord Jesus Christ, the all-powerful, almighty, omnipotent God. And when somebody else is in trouble, you can help them. And there's some of you that in this room, I know, and I'm not trying to embarrass you. Sister Ruthie, you're going through a tough thing right now. But you know what I appreciate? As I walk in, she comes to church, no excuse, you know. You can see the grace of God in her life. And that's a testimony to me. That's a testimony to me. Because, you know, I'm young, and I have no excuse. And I don't struggle with, I really don't struggle with physical things like some of you do. And my father-in-law, you know, he doesn't say it ever, and you'll never hear him complain. But he gets tired. He can still outwork me. It's not right, but he can still outwork me. But he never complains about it, that he's sore, that he's tired, because I think the grace of God helps him. And that helps me. And I think in the morning, I'm just guessing. In the morning, I'm guessing Dad gets up and he asks God to strengthen his body. And it really means something to him when he says that. The Lord Jesus Christ wants to get to know you. And sometimes He just uses circumstances to get you to want to know Him a little bit more. That's why He keeps us on our toes, you know? And young people, I want to talk to you just for a second. Adults, don't shut me out. Some of you were, you know, in the Christian school this year. And I came in, I preached one chapel service. And one of the points that I made in that chapel service was that some of you are going to have to struggle with some things. You're going to have some things come up that you're just going to have to deal with. But I don't want you to get bitter at that and get bitter at God. Listen, all God is doing is trying to get to know you, and you get to know Him. That's all He's doing. He's trying to make you grow. And so you don't have to get mad at God, and you don't have to get mad at your parents, you know, when your parents won't let you do what you want to do. It's not your parents. That's God's providential hand. Do you understand that? There's lots of things, lots of circumstances that God uses, you know, for us to get to know Him a little bit better. I'm guessing, but my sister-in-law, Rachel, when she flipped her car, she got to know God a little bit better all of a sudden. I'm just guessing. God let that happen. Did He not? He did. He let that happen, but His providential hand also let her come out basically unscathed. But I bet she has a new appreciation for God Almighty. And us. Some of you right now, young people, you're really struggling with some things at home. And I can see it on your face, your countenance, the way you're just troubled. Maybe God has brought some things into your life and you have no clue why. Listen, just get to know God and then maybe you'll understand why. And He loves you. He wants to take care of you. I know God loves His children. He loves His children. And He wants the best for you. And sometimes the best for you is just to have some hardship. And the best for me is to have some hardship. And I hope this may be an encouragement to some of you, or many of you in this room. But listen, in your life, look for God's providential hand in everything. Look for it. Everything has God's hand written into it. Everything. Everything. You know, we talk about, when we preach about, you know, that America's getting worse and worse, and, you know, all these things are happening in America, right? All this wickedness is growing within America. You know, God's hand is in all that. I'm not saying that he causes sin, because he knows no sin. He's perfect and sinless. But he allows things to happen. You know, the 9/11 attacks, God allowed that to happen. You know, all the tornadoes that go through and wipe out places here and around the world, you know, God allows those things to happen. You know, the tsunami that hit over in Indonesia and killed millions of people, God was the author of that. His hand was in that. And some say, well, that's harsh. It may be a wake-up call for some people to get to know God. I'm not saying it was God's judgment. That's not for me to say. It's really not. Because I don't have the mind of God. But his hand was in it. And if those people in Indonesia would see that God was a source, God Almighty was a source, and the only way they could get answer for some of their problems there over in Indonesia is that they'd have to go through him, then they get to know him, and he would get the glory. And I don't know what God may bring in your life. Some of you, you don't have anything going on right now. Everything's kind of riding smooth, right? A-okay. But God may bring something soon, and you're going to need this. I would mark this in your Bible and go back to it very often. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. Now, to finish this thing out, in the circumstances that you're going through, is God getting the glory? That's the question I want to ask you. Do you realize that he is the source, and he is the force, and he is the course? And the thing that you're going through, is he getting the glory for it? Are you giving him the glory for that? Or are you walking in your own way and in your own mindset and doing your own thing, trying to figure it out your own way, and God's not getting the glory for it? You know, this world needs some Christians to be able to deal with problems, right? Because they all struggle. You know, there's a young man I'm talking to right now. I'm trying to get him to come to church. His family's a mess. He's a mess. He's only 17 years old. I think he's just turned 18 here recently. And listen, the kid's already got lung cancer. He's already got lung cancer. He's got a spot on his heart that they think may be cancerous on his heart. But he's going through every other door other than God. But if he'd realize that, listen, God allowed those things into his life, and it just happened to be that somebody drove by and decided to knock on his door that was from this church, and then I was introduced to him. You know, that's all God's hand, and all God is trying to do is show him the way. That's all he's trying to do. And if that kid would just come around to it, his life would change. I'm not saying the cancer would go away, but his life would change, and God would get the glory for it. But instead, he's walking in darkness. What about you? Young person, the problems you're going through, are you dealing with them on your own, in your own mind, in your own way? You know, making excuses for the things that you're doing right now? You know, justifying your sin? Those kind of things. because of the circumstances that you've been put in. Don't do that. God allowed all those things. You give God the glory with your life. You know, one thing I've heard from, you know, here and there, especially from young people that grow up in broken homes, is they say, well, you know, I didn't grow up with a dad, or I didn't grow up with a mom, or I didn't, you know, I was adopted, and so I have all these problems. Listen, God allowed all those things. You give him glory. There's no excuse for your sin. There's not. And some of you are probably looking at me going, Brother Derek, you don't know anything. Listen, I don't know my biological father. I know his name. That's it. The only story I know is that when my mom found out she was pregnant with me and told him, he wouldn't speak to her anymore. That's it. That's all I know of him. And then my mom moved back to Montana from Colorado and met my, who I call dad, because he's my dad. And guess what? They're both lost. My mom and my dad were both lost while I was growing up. But God put me in that home. There's things in the home that there's some of you that have seen or experienced even now you go home to that I care not for anybody ever have to deal with. But God allowed all that. My dad worked 70, 80 hours a week trying to put food on the table for us. We lived fairly poor, to be honest. And, you know, our poor is still probably richer than any real poor person. But he worked hard. My mom stayed home to try and take care of kids, you know, do what moms do. But as a result of my dad being gone, working so hard, guess who gets to be the man of the house? Yeah. Do I regret that? Can I make excuses and say I didn't have a childhood? Oh, no. I had to grow up a little faster. That's good for me. You know? And I know some of you think that, you know, that's just, some of you young people think you've got it all rough. Listen, there's always worse than what you go through. There's worse than what I went through, for sure. You know, I don't know about you, but how many of you ever had your mother come up and ask you, do you think it'd be okay if I divorced your dad? And you're only 12, 13 years old. What do you think of that? You try and deal with that as a 12, 13-year-old boy. Am I complaining about it? No. God used all that to learn some things, to have some compassion on some people that struggle, and to know and see God's grace is sufficient for me. And I don't know why I got off on that necessarily right at the end, but I don't know why I'm talking to the young people the way I am, but I see some of you struggling so bad and you're making excuses for it. Listen, God just wants you to know him just a little bit more. No excuses. Just get on board. Just get to know God. He's the source. He's the force, and he's the course. Now are you giving him glory? Let's have a word of prayer and then go into the invitation. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for the time you've given us. Lord, I ask that you just help us now. Lord, there may be somebody struggling here. They have problems that are beyond their ability to deal and reason with them. Lord, I ask that you would help them, encourage them right now. Maybe there's some that are in this room that they've been going through those problems and they understand where they really need to go to get the answer, but they're walking away from you, trying to do their own thing. Lord, help them to come back to you tonight. Maybe there's somebody in here that, you know, things are okay right now. Not really too much going on. Lord, help them to realize that when something does come, that you're the source, you're the ultimate author of that, that they need to go through you and only you. And the whole reason for us is to just draw them a little closer to you. God, I pray you work and move now in the invitation. If there's somebody here, maybe they just don't know you as their personal Savior. Lord, I pray that they would come forward and trust you because they can't deal with this life without you. They just can't. They're going to fight and struggle without you. And they need to know you as their personal Savior. Lord, I pray that you just work now. In Jesus' name, Pranassi sings, amen.